Welcome to the All or Something Living podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Kepler, and this podcast is all about ditching black and white thinking and exploring the gray areas of health, happiness, and everything in between. If you're ready to feel empowered and inspired, then let's get to it. Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 6 of the All or Something Living podcast. I'm already starting to lose track of these numbers, you guys. Like, I was looking through my folder to see what I wanted to record today, and I had already recorded 2 episodes that, like, I didn't think that I had. I was planning on getting ahead of myself because I'm going to visit my grandma this week. Or this weekend. So I was like, well, I need to have a few episodes recorded so I can just schedule them to be put out. And I'm already, like, I already have up to 5 episodes recorded and ready to go. So I was really surprised about that. And I don't know. Do you ever have those times where you're just ahead of yourself and you thank your past self for, like, being there for you? Like, if you come home from a night of drinking or something, you wake up in the morning and there's, like, a thing of water and Advil on your nightstand, and you're like, holy cow, my drunk self was really smart. I wasn't drunk when I recorded the last few episodes, but I was really surprised at how I just must really love this podcasting thing because I am on top of it. I've gotten some really great feedback and reviews so far. Well, not reviews, like written reviews, but speaking of, I've had a lot of people tell me so far that they're enjoying this. So if you are enjoying this and you feel inclined to do so, you can pop on over to iTunes or wherever you listen and just leave a quick review. That way it lets others know that it's worthy of listening to and helps spread the word of this podcast. So I have been in bed sick all weekend. This is my first day actually up and moving, and I don't know. So I have been struggling to figure out how to structure my days. I started to do Mondays because Monday is my technically Sunday, and so it's usually the day where I work on my business and stuff. And I had structured it for a while where I would wake up early and work for 6 hours on my business. But I think I'm recently learning that I am not the kind of person to, like, put time limits on things because I tend to go through things really quickly anyway. So saying 6 hours, like, it turned into an all or nothing thing for me. Like, if I couldn't get my entire 6 hours in, I felt like I was failing myself. Go figure. I teach this stuff and I still struggle with it. So I just decided that the best way that I work and the best way that I'm most productive is through tasks instead of time limits. So, and something else I've been doing is just letting myself basically have free rein to do what I feel like doing. So I can do anything that needs to get done on my Mondays in whatever order I feel like doing it. And this morning I woke up and I just felt like playing music. So I just had my guitar out for a good hour or so. I was just playing songs. And then I decided I was going to learn the song A Million Reasons by Lady Gaga. And I literally within like 20 minutes had the song down. And sometimes that amazes me because I just started playing guitar really for like what was it, a year, maybe 2 years ago now, I don't know, but I don't play it often. And so when I'm feeling super creative, like I was this morning, and confident in my creations, I can pick things up really easily. Like, I didn't overthink it. So before I knew it, like, I had the song down and I was singing along and I was just in that groove. Like, do you have something that you're passionate about that you feel like when you're doing it, you just lose track of all time and you're just like really in the moment? That's how I felt recently when I was just practicing that. It felt really good. And last night I was doing a quiz on this book I have. I forget what it's called, The Conquer Club, Natalie McNeil. It's for entrepreneurs basically to set up our systems and in a creative way. And I read this thing about myself. I took this quiz to find out what kind of entrepreneur I am. I guess it turns out I'm the creative. I'm the visionary, the creator, which is so funny because I didn't think of myself as a creative for so long. Like, I saw people that were creative and just put their work out into the world confidently, and I was like, oh no, that's not me. But when I took that quiz and read yesterday, I realized that, like, wow, this really describes me, because I also get so lost in creation mode that I forget to do. It's said that my weakness is that I forget to do like the left brain kind of stuff, like administrative tasks and stuff. And that's so true. Anyway, obviously you can tell I've had a long weekend in bed because I'm all excited and I have so much to share. And today, I guess I'm just trying to set the stage for, I'm about to go deep and tell a story about my disordered relationship with food and eating. And so it's going to be a little bit of an intense one. I don't know, actually. I've told this story a few times, so I don't know if I'll get emotional or what, but it's a little bit of a deeper one. As you guys probably know by now, if you've been listening from the beginning, I like to get deep into things. And the reason that I share this story and the reason that I want to share it with you today is because I feel like it's so important to spread awareness of eating disorders and disordered eating, especially in a society that's so health and food obsessed. So many of us are experiencing disordered relationships with our food without even realizing it. By now, it's become the norm to have kind of an obsessive relationship with food, or even like a weird one. Like maybe you feel like you can't stop eating emotionally. Maybe you feel like you don't have control over your food choices. You just feel out of control around food in general, and that causes you to feel a lot of things like guilt and shame, and then causes you to binge on foods that you wouldn't particularly like to be eating. It's just a really complicated, messy thing. So I share my story to let you know that, first of all, you're not alone. Second of all, you don't have to struggle with your food. That's, there's a way to move past that through a lot of work, obviously, and I'm going to go into that in my story. But there is a way to have a healthy relationship to food, and to still, like, there's a way to release control of what you're eating with, while still valuing health and still eating in a way that makes you feel good. And that's the key, is learning to have a really good, healthy relationship with yourself and your body, and learning what makes you feel best without feeling like you're restricting yourself or you're thinking of foods in good or bad terms. Another thing that I want to make clear before we get started is that I'm not sharing any of this to tell you, like, when I'm telling the stories of how I was teased growing up or any comments that people made about my body or weight throughout the years, I want you to know that I'm not blaming those people. They probably didn't know any better, or maybe they were hurting themselves, or maybe they were experiencing their own feelings about their body, and that happens very often. I don't play victim in my story. I take full responsibility of how I'm feeling, the way that I'm experiencing. But keep in mind that this is my story. This is my truth, and I can tell it in any way that I want to. And it shouldn't affect you, meaning that if you feel any kind of judgment coming from me or anybody or whatever, if you're feeling any kind of interesting feelings while I'm telling my story, just know that it's nothing to do. Your feelings have nothing to do with me and a lot to do with you. And I would take those feelings as a sign to work through whatever it is that you're feeling and explore that. Like, what is this bringing up for you? And I want you to know that even though I went through a lot, and I know we all go through struggles and challenges, so I, again, am not saying that I'm the only one who's experienced this, but in retrospect, looking back on everything, I'm so thankful for everything that I've learned and the strength that I've gained, that all of this made me who I am today. I was telling my fiance, Jason, yesterday that when I think back on all my life experiences and my idea of success, like when I'm thinking about how I want to turn this into a full-time gig and be successful at it, I told him, I said, it's the only option. Like, I don't see anything else for my life, and everything in my past, everything that I've gone through has set me up for this moment, and everything that I'm continuing to learn and grow through is helping me become not only a better coach, but a better human. I can have more empathy for you as you go through your struggles. I can understand where you're coming from, and I can tell you how I overcame them and guide you into overcoming your own struggles, because we all have them. If you are somebody who is currently, you know, you're experiencing an eating disorder, or I think that you might be, I want to just warn you, give you a little disclaimer here that we do talk about diets in this episode. I talk about my eating disorder and some other sensitive topics. So if you feel that this might be triggering to you, then I recommend skipping this episode or coming back another time when you feel like you are mentally prepared for this. All right, so let's dive right into my story. So my story really begins with the first time ever being aware of my body. I can't remember the exact age. This was somewhere between 8 and 11 years old. And I started to get teased for my body. I never really thought that there was anything wrong with my body. I was actually really comfortable in my body. I wore tight clothes. I wore whatever I want. I remember I had this long jean, like made out of like jean jumpsuit. And I loved it. But my brother and sister and their friends immediately started making fun of me and saying things like, how dare she wear that? Like, look at her belly. It was like high water, whatever. And so I was like, why is everybody being so mean to me? Like, what's wrong with my belly? What's wrong with my body? And then I guess I can't remember if it really bothered me at the time, but what I did start to catch on to is the fact that I had a lot of skinny little blonde friends, and actually I had to chase those friends to make them become my friends in the first place. They were like the quote unquote popular group in elementary school. And I just kind of wedged my way into their group and like wouldn't take no for an answer. And then we eventually did become friends, and they were actually really good friends, and I still talk to most of them. But I noticed that they were like, boys were interested in going out with them. They were getting asked out by boys and stuff. And I noticed that wasn't happening with me. So I figured, like, I was just kind of a take charge kind of girl. I had a really wild spirit. I always just did my own thing. And so it wasn't abnormal for me to just approach the boys and just start asking them. I started asking them, like, will you go out with me? Or I'd send them a note in class and ask them if they would go out with me. And they always said no. And I didn't understand, but I was like, all right, on to the next, whatever. And it didn't hit me why they felt that way until one day I was out on the playground. And this is really funny. I was such a weird kid. I was playing with a praying mantis on the playground by myself. And my little group of friends, they had asked me, like, I had this really big crush on this guy. I'm not going to say his name, but I had a crush on him. And my friends were like, oh, we're going to go tell him that you like him and see if he'll go out with you. And so I was like, yeah, go do it. And then they ran off giggling, and like, here I am playing with my little praying mantis, anxiously awaiting the answer. And they come like 10 or so minutes later, they come running back and they're all still giggling. And then they kind of, I can't remember the details exactly, but I think they got kind of serious and they were like, you know, Lauren, so-and-so said he'd go out with you if you'd lose some weight. And I remember that moment just being so embarrassed and so devastated and just so like my heart sank. And I think my spirit died that day. I know that's dramatic, but it really did. Like, it changed the trajectory of everything. After that, I was like, what? And so at lunch that day, I guess like he came and sat next to me, and he wanted to get my attention or something. He knew that I liked him, and so he kind of wanted to rub it in my face and like whatever. So he came and sat next to me at lunch, and I was just already like not having it. So I was just eating my lunch, and I remember being embarrassed for the first time of eating my lunch. I remember being embarrassed of eating in front of people, especially boys. So when he came and sat next to me, I wouldn't eat. And I was really hungry, and I was just like irritated. Like, why is this guy sitting next to me? And I remember just telling him, like, I know what you said, and I don't know, it's not cool, whatever. And he was like, I'm so sorry. And I don't remember what came of that. But anyway, the point of that story is that I realized that my size made me different, that it made people treat me differently for the first time. Even as I'm telling this story right now, like, I'm nervous. It's so weird. I feel like I'm kind of a little bit shaky and a little bit emotional from, this is just such a vulnerable part, I guess, of my life. And anyway, so from that moment, I started to experience low self-esteem. I started kind of isolating myself from people. I started having a weird relationship around food. I would like put myself on self-proclaimed diets, but then I would like tell my friends that my mom had put me on this diet, and I would brag about how little I ate that morning. And I just started wanting to be like my skinny friends. And that's really sad. Like, I'm going to pause right here because, like I said, I was such a free-spirited, confident girl. And the second that I realized that my looks could change how much people valued me or how worthy people thought that I was, I just suddenly thought that I was nothing and that I was unworthy, and that in order for me to become worthy, I had to be skinny like my other friends and like my sister was. And it just broke me. And it just went on like that. Like, I started spending my Friday nights and Saturday nights while my brother and sister were out with their friends. I would lay on the couch by myself watching TV or whatever, just feeling really low and just eating nonstop. And this is when the binges began. So I recall going into the kitchen. Usually it was when nobody was around, so nobody could see the amount that I was eating. I would start with something like a bowl of cereal. And then I would eat that bowl of cereal. I'd go add more cereal to it once it was gone. Then that would run out. The milk would run out, so I'd add more milk, and I would then go add more cereal like multiple times. And that's not unusual. I know a lot of people do that when they are, especially like with cereal, that's a common thing. So, but then I would get really full and I would notice it, but I would just keep eating. So I would go back to the kitchen and I would eat like a block of cheese, no joke, a whole thing of saltines. And I would keep that binge going on for like a good hour or so. I would keep eating. It was almost like somebody had taken over my body. And I couldn't stop eating until I would be physically sick and I would feel really horrible about myself. And I'd be like, this is why you are the way that you are. No wonder. I would numb out. I guess I was eating hoping that that food would make me feel something. Like, I would get a hit of like goodness, like happiness, because it would taste good for a second. But when I'd go on those binges, I would be so full that it actually was painful to eat. And I guess I kept eating because I thought maybe that feeling would come back, that good feeling or that comfort. It never did. A lot of times my brother and sister and their friends would come in while I was laying on the couch eating, and they would start teasing me about how fat and disgusting and ugly I was, and how my only exercise was getting up and opening the fridge, like walking to the fridge and opening it. A lot of times, like, they like their biggest insult for me was just always, you're a fat, disgusting pig, go lose some weight, go kill yourself. It was really intense and really horrible, and it really had a big impact on how I felt, and not about just myself, but in life, how I felt that life was. I just was like, this is so painful. Like, why is this happening? And why did I have to get this card? Why did I have to be dealt this card? And so I started every night to lay in bed and just cry and cry and cry. And just, I felt really bad for myself. Like, I did not just a pity party. It wasn't that I was having a pity party. It was just like, this was my first introduction to what life was like as you were growing up. And I understand that everybody has it hard as young kids and teenagers and stuff. But I just felt so alone. Like, I just felt like I wanted just one person to step in and just say, you're beautiful, you're worthy. And anytime that I tried to explain to anyone how I was feeling, everyone just said I was being dramatic and that I was overreacting and that I should just get over it. And so I just had to deal with it myself. So I dealt with it through music, through binging on food. I didn't know any other coping mechanisms, but I would lay in bed every night and I would cry myself to sleep and I would think about killing myself. I would think about ways to do it. And But then I would think about what my family's reaction to that would be. And it's so weird because our family, we do have a close family, and I knew that my family loved me. I knew that definitely that my mom and dad loved me. I knew that my brother and sister loved me, even though they were mean to me, and I just so badly wanted their approval. But so I would think about that. I would think about what their reaction would be. Sometimes I would even think that, oh, maybe it would be like they'd feel bad about what they did, so let me get revenge on them. But it all boiled down to just how I felt they would react if I went through with it. And I think they would have been devastated. And so I just kept on going, and I had this little voice in my head. So even though there wasn't a person there with me to tell me that it was going to be okay, I had this voice, like this small voice that always guided me in the back of my mind that said, keep pushing through, Lauren. Like, you are strong. You can do this. You're meant to do bigger things in the world. All you have to do is just get through this. Like, just keep taking it one day at a time. And so I did. I just did what I could. I tried to change so many things about myself because I just thought maybe if people liked me, maybe if people loved me or thought that I was worthy, then maybe I could be happy. And so that went on for a while. I just finally got fed up of the way that I felt about myself. So I think it was the age of 14. I remember walking through Walmart with my mom, and I had told her this a lot of times before. I said, Mom, I want to lose weight. I always told her that. My mom also deals with some body image issues that she's dealt with her whole life. And so she, although I know if she had a healthy relationship to food and her body herself, she probably would have helped me. In this case, it was a little bit difficult because she was struggling as well. So growing up, I remember when I would eat things, I'd get looks of disapproval from her. I got this sense that she was just ashamed of me and my body, and maybe she didn't want me to go through what she had gone through. I remember going to the beach, and I used to love wearing two pieces, but I remember one day she said that I probably shouldn't wear a two piece and that I should just wear one piece. So she'd have me wear one pieces and cover up with a t-shirt as well. So I started learning to just cover up my body more and more. And I was just tired of that. Like, I was into fashion and I was starting to get into makeup, and I wanted to look pretty and I wanted to be known as being pretty. So we were walking through Walmart one day, and I said, Mom, I want to lose weight. And she, again, like I said before, had heard it a million times before. And so I told her a certain amount of weight that I wanted to lose. And she said, okay, well, if you lose half of that, then I will get you a gym membership. And so I was like, all right, cool. And so I went for it. And this time I was actually determined and serious about it. And I didn't do anything extreme, to be honest with you. I just started eating a little bit less than I was used to eating. And then my mom got me this yoga and Pilates workout video. I started just doing that 3 times a week. And the weight just came off like pretty easily. So within a month or two, I had reached my goal of what I told her that I would do. So not only did she get me a gym membership, but she also took me to get my belly button pierced on my 15th birthday because I felt like I was ready and worthy and of showing my belly off, and other people suddenly thought so too. So I returned to middle school after the summer, and everyone was just so surprised at how good I looked, and people started paying attention to me. The boys that were teasing me all the time were like suddenly interested, and my brother and sister were a lot nicer to me, and so were their friends. And it was just so crazy because all of a sudden I was like, oh, so this is the key to being liked. I just have to be skinny, and I just have to stay skinny, and I have to be pretty, and then all will be well. So from then on, I kind of lost who I initially was because I started to put on a performance for everybody. I wanted to make sure that I looked as pretty as possible every single day. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't saying anything that might offend anybody or make them want to argue with me or hurt anybody's feelings. Like, I just started adopting a persona that wasn't me, which again is pretty standard within teenagers when they're trying to figure out who they are. And this like pressure that we feel to fit in is insane. And I know that maybe that's something that you had felt growing up too in a different way. But I just kept on going. Like, I used my gym membership. After that first, like, initial diet that I put myself on, I really didn't have to worry about what I was eating. It's not something I obsessed over. I didn't even really think about my weight very much. I joined the track team. So from then on, it was, like, pretty easy for me to stay fit. And so I didn't really worry about it. When I moved out on my own, once I turned 18, I was kind of poor anyway. I was living with I was renting an apartment with my sister's boyfriend at the time. So I basically just, like, lived off of Top Ramen and alcohol. And so although I wasn't healthy, I never just really worried about my weight. I joined the Air Force, and when they initially weighed me to get me in, because you have to be a certain weight to be accepted into the Air Force, which is stupid already, but you have to, like, meet a BMI range. I'll get into that another episode because, yeah, my feelings about BMI. But anyway, I weighed myself. They weighed me, and it was fine. Like, I was way under the expected weight. And then between the time that they had initially weighed me and me actually leaving for basic training, I had moved back in with my mom, and she was feeding me really well. So I gained a certain amount of weight, and I was almost at the weight limit, and my recruiter, like, freaked out. And I was just kind of like, oh, no big deal. Like, I've been happy. It's fine. I've just been enjoying my freedom while it lasts. And then I went into basic training. Obviously, like, you have 3 meals a day. You have, like, 5 minutes to eat each of those meals, so you don't really get an opportunity to eat. And then you're almost kind of working out, like, 24/7 a little bit. So it was easy for me to just, like, again, never had to worry about the weight. Then I got out of basic training. I got into tech school where you had more freedom. And I remember that I was just eating a lot all the time. And because I never really had repaired my relationship to food, as my body changed as it aged and started metabolizing differently, then the food started affecting me differently. But I didn't care because no one ever said anything when I gained weight at the time. People were really nice to me, unlike my childhood. So I didn't think much of it. And then when I moved to England at the age of 19, I started eating a ton. I started drinking a ton. And again, no one really said anything. People, I think it was because of my confidence, I guess. People just actually told me all the time that I was really sexy and that they liked my curves and stuff. And it wasn't until I saw pictures of myself that I was like, I said, ew, I'm disgusting. Like, how could you guys love me? How could you guys accept me? And everyone's like, you're fine. And so I also noticed, like, my friends were commenting on their bodies a lot more than I had seen before. They were commenting on certain parts of their body that I had never even, like, thought of being aware of. They're like, oh, this in pictures looks, I don't like the way this looks in pictures or that or whatever. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's a thing. So then I started getting more self-conscious and self-aware once again. And so and it's so funny too, because when I saw pictures of myself being confident at whatever size I was like, how dare she be confident when she looks like that? Because I was taught, you know, that you had to be a certain size to be worthy. And I still, like, truly believed that regardless of how people were treating me. So that this is when my actual yo-yo dieting began. Yo-yo meaning that, like, I would start a diet, I'd be really good at it, and then I'd go off of it, and then I'd have, like, this crazy binge and feel out of control with food, and then I felt like I'd have to put myself back on a diet. So I just thought that diets were the only way to actually, like, control the amount of food that you were taking in. I thought that was the only option, so that's what I did. And I remember at the time, like, I was really good at dieting. So I started to just purposefully go on different diets because I decided also at that time that I wanted to be a personal trainer or some sort of nutritionist. And so I said, okay, for my future clients, I'll have gone on every diet so I can tell them which one works the best. And this is when I noticed the binges were starting to come back. I lived with myself. I had moved out of the dorm, so I lived in a flat in the center of Bury St. Edmunds, which I've talked about in the first episode. But I remember feeling lonely again for the first time, just not knowing how to deal with my emotions. And that's when I would start the blackout binges, the actual binging where I felt like I wasn't present for it. If you have heard much about binge eating disorder, then you know that it's kind of associated with like a sort of blackout. I'll read a little bit more of those symptoms to you just to spread awareness later on in this episode, because binge eating disorder is what I had for a long time and didn't know that I had. But anyway, that's when it started back up. And I remember just feeling so ashamed again, just like, oh my gosh, I'm going back into my old ways. I'm going to lose my worthiness. People are going to catch on. They're like, basically, I thought I was a fraud. I'm like, I hid it so well that I was chubby as a young girl. But I always had that mentality that I was just this chubby girl that was unworthy and yada yada. So I was like, people are going to find me out. They're going to know. And yeah, so I was binging and I was desperately seeking the silver bullet, the one diet that would just change everything, that would make me be like one of those people who just can eat healthy all the time and no big deal. Like they just are healthy eaters and they don't obsess over food like I did. They didn't have a lack of control around food, and they actually had the willpower to stay in control. All these things are so funny in hindsight, funny, ironically funny, not like actually funny, but just crazy what we go through with food. And so anyway, I thought I had started to get a handle on my weight again. Once again, I was waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym before work, which is funny because I do that now. But then I was like reading, I had like some book from one of the coaches in The Biggest Loser, and I was doing that, and it didn't seem too difficult minus the binges. And spoiler alert, it was the restriction, the diets that I was doing, that was causing the binges in the first place. So that explains a lot. But okay, to not ramble on anymore, so I was fine. I was like my normal quote unquote thin weight again. And that's when I met my now fiance, Jason. If you're somebody whose weight fluctuates a lot, then you kind of know the feeling of you meet somebody maybe romantically when you're at your smaller size and you're like worried that they're going to figure you out. Like maybe your weight's going to fluctuate again, and then they're going to be like, they're not going to want you anymore. And that's what I was kind of afraid of, but up until that point, I hadn't, like, my weight didn't cycle as quickly as it started to a little bit later on once I started dieting even more after this story. But anyway, to not lose you, within our first 6 months of our relationship, I had gained weight. Like I stopped going to the gym. I started just eating whatever he wanted to eat, because if you've seen him, he's like 6'4". He's really just naturally lean. He has a six pack all the time, no matter what he's doing. Like even if he's eating really healthy for like 2 weeks straight, he'll have a six pack. If he's not eating healthy, like he'll eat two cheeseburgers and have a six pack afterwards. So it's just in his genetics to be that way. But that means that he also just, his body has different needs than mine. He naturally eats a lot more than I do and a lot of high calorie foods, but I didn't know any of this, how this worked. So I just was eating whatever he was eating and not working out. So I gained weight naturally, and I started to feel self-conscious in my body again. I started kind of hiding my nakedness around him. I just started feeling gross and just different. I started acting differently. And then I noticed he was responding to me differently as well. And so one night, I remember we were up, I don't know why we were in this room. We were up in one of the rooms of his house talking. It was like a storage room. And we were laying on the floor, and I was upset about something, and he followed me in there. But I asked him, I said, "Are you less attracted to me because I gained weight?" And he's a very honest man, and he looked at me and he said, "Yes, I am." I started bawling my eyes out. Like, that moment, it brought me back to how I felt in my childhood. And so I just like lost it. I ran downstairs and I didn't know what to do because I felt like, oh my gosh, but I'm stuck in this body right now. I just want it to be fixed right now. I want him to see me the way that he used to. And that night when I went downstairs, I stuck my fingers down my throat and threw up in the toilet. And then after that, I just felt really resentful and angry at him for just, I was like, you were supposed to be the one person that loved me unconditionally. I thought that, you know, maybe you could. Anyway, that whole conversation just spiraled me into another kind of bout of low self-esteem. From then on, I just always like thought that he was cheating on me. I thought he was going to break up with me anytime. And it was just an ugly time. And then I always held it against him, for being honest. I always was just mad at him. I told everybody who would listen, and everybody was actually like on my side. And I'm sure if you're listening right now, maybe you're feeling angry that he said that and he shouldn't say that. But if you think about it, really, I mean, that's like the base of our society, is telling people that they aren't worthy if they look a certain way or if their bodies look a certain way. So Jason is conditioned by the same society that we all are. And he was led to believe that thinner bodies equal better bodies. And him being naturally lean himself, it's not something that he ever had to worry about. So it was kind of something like, it was new territory for both of us. I still, at that time, didn't know how to deal with my feelings about myself. And he didn't know what to do either. So I had separated from the Air Force, and I went and moved in with my brother. And so Jason and I were long distance for 7 months. And during that time, I was like, I'm going to completely transform my body. He's not even going to recognize me when he sees me, and then he'll love me and accept me. And so I joined this bodybuilding like competition, this online, like it was like a transformation challenge. If you had the best body transformation in 3 months, then you would get like a really big prize. So right before I started this, though, when I was living with my brother, I remember one day I posted this picture of a girl, like a really thin, fit girl, and I was on Facebook, I posted it, and I said, you know, it's kind of unfair that these are really unrealistic standards for most people, and it's everywhere in our faces. And I remember getting like pushback from almost everybody just saying, no, if you really tried, you could get that way. Everybody's capable of having that body. It's just a matter of willpower and yada, yada, yada. And so I was like, oh man, I felt like attacked, but at the same time I was like, oh, okay. So I guess I'll just have to figure it out. I'm just making excuses and I'm just holding myself back. So I have to figure out how to make this happen. So I joined that transformation challenge. I was very strict for 3 months. I didn't drink at all. I didn't have any quote unquote cheat meals. I was really like self-righteous and proud of myself. But a lot of people were unhappy because I couldn't drink with them or I couldn't eat with them. Like, we always had bonded over food and stuff. And then people started to say that I was boring and that I was uptight and whatever, but I was like, I don't care because I'm going to have a great body. And I, at the time, thought I'm going to be way healthier than all of you. It was just a mess too. But then everyone started to comment on how my body looked and how great I looked and how beautiful I was. And so I was like, all right, the worthiness is back. We're good. So then when Jason came back to the States and we moved to Vegas together, I still felt self-conscious about my body all the time. If I ate a meal that I thought, you know, like made me bloated or whatever, I thought I was going to gain weight, I started worrying again. And to be honest with you, even when Jason saw me at a smaller size, he didn't really treat me any differently. I was like, why did I do all this work if you're not even going to change the way that you look at me or whatever? But I had to keep up that, in order to keep up the body that I had built in that 3 months, I had to keep up that crazy lifestyle I had started when I didn't have a job or anything else to do. And it became like, normal for me to keep up with. But at the same time, I didn't really have a social life. I couldn't make friends because I couldn't drink or eat anything without feeling like out of control or I was going to blow it all. So I didn't hang out with friends. Jason deployed at one time and I basically like, I went out with one friend once a week to have my quote unquote cheat meal. And that's the only time that I would actually experience social interaction. And during all of that time, I was still on that self-righteous high horse. Like I can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. And everybody who's overweight just needs to stop their excuses and do what I'm doing and blah, 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 blah. I didn't really like the person that I was. I was really judgmental. I was really preachy. I just was so uptight. I just felt like I can't lose control of anything because if I do, then it's just going to spiral me back into who I was before, that unworthy little girl. And the binges, by the way, hadn't stopped by this point. Even when I did the transformation challenge, I was still secretly binging, even if it was on healthy foods or plan-approved foods or whatever. So living with Jason was even harder to binge, to hide my binges because I didn't know how to do it without him knowing. So if he would be out of the house for an afternoon, I'd make a trip to the grocery store and I'd get myself an entire pizza and an entire pint of ice cream and just down it as quickly as I could and just feel so ashamed that I couldn't share that part of myself with him. And I thought, what would he think of me if he saw this? What would anybody think of me if they saw that I was like preaching health all the time, but I didn't even have a handle on food myself. So from there, I just became more and more obsessive about wanting to be smaller. Getting into the bodybuilding world, I went to the gym and I told them that I like what my goals were. And they told me that in order to be successful, I had to get down to like 6% body fat, which is really, really unhealthy. And that's really bad advice from them. And thankfully, I even knew it at the time, but I still felt like I could be smaller. I could be like those women on stage with the six packs and really strong muscles or whatever. And yeah, I got muscles. Yeah, I started to get abs, but not the lean muscles and not the lean abs. No matter how little I was eating, I just didn't. Like, my body is just not built that way. But I was told that no matter what genetics are saying, no matter what anybody else says, I could get to that size. So started getting more extreme, working out twice a day, started using waist trainers, taking diet pills. Binges started to get worse and worse. And then I found intermittent fasting. I was told, I took this like course for intermittent fasting, was told that if I could just eat in a small hour window, which I chose like an 8 hour window, I would just not eat. I would only eat from like 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. or 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., something like that. Anyway, I started doing that because I was told that's the secret to staying lean and eating whatever you want within your macros. So you'd still had to fit your macros. And if you don't know any of this jargon I'm talking about, you don't need to know because it's stupid anyway. But like fitting your macros, knowing how to fit your macros, but then you could eat things like donuts or whatever and not feel guilty about it. So I was like, cool, I can finally start eating things that have always been off limits. By the way, things that I would binge on my cheat days because they were always off limits. But I started eating more of those things. But what happened is because I couldn't eat until like 12, which was actually ended up being 1 p.m. because I worked until 12 and then I had to drive home from work. I started like, I was so hungry in the mornings that I would work with people at work. I was a mentor for my job. I'd be working with people, my brain would just blank out and I would be like, sorry, I'm just on this really strict diet and so I'm really tired and I can't think straight. Even that was not a sign for me to stop because I felt like it was worth it to be skinny or fit. Anyway, then I would get home and I was experiencing the worst binges of my life. Like it was bad and I had already kind of had this inkling, like, is this what health looks like? Is this what it takes to be healthy or skinny? Because to me, this isn't worth it. This is like so hard and I just want to live my life. I can't live like this for the rest of my life. So finally, I discovered podcasts, which is why I'm now starting my own because podcasts have helped me out so much. But I had to ease into the idea of eating whatever I wanted or letting go of the idea of control around food or the size of my body. It's something you really have to ease into. If you've been conditioned your entire life that skinny bodies equal good bodies and that you have to control what you're eating and you have to, like, I don't know, eat super clean and whatever. It takes a really long time to shift that paradigm and rethink it. So you have to kind of, it was like almost like a trail of information. I had to take it one piece at a time. So I, from intermittent fasting, had learned that I could eat donuts and things. And so I already got that piece of the puzzle. Then in a podcast, I heard of somebody called Maddie Moon. And on her podcast, she was talking about not caring about what people think of our size, learning how to be kind to our bodies and respect our bodies and treat them well and just let them land at whatever weight was healthiest for them, and to let go of control and food restriction. And that was actually the key to have a healthier relationship with food. That was that secret key that I had been missing. And I think at that point when I found that, I was so desperate that I was like, okay, this is something I'd never heard of and never tried, so I might as well just go for it. Even though I was terrified, I was like, well, I've tried everything else and nothing else has worked. This is all there is to it. And you know what? If this means that, like, I'm going to gain 300 pounds, like, fine. Like, fuck it. Like, I just don't care anymore. And if Jason wants to leave me because I gain a bunch of weight, then that's on him. Like, all I want is just to be happy. I want to feel good about myself. And I just want to stop feeling so uptight about everything. So I sat him down and I told him what I found out. I said, I'm not going to be participating in intermittent fasting or diets ever again in general. I said, I might gain weight, I might not, I don't know, but I just can't live like this anymore. If you feel like you need to leave me once I gain weight or whatever, you feel like you just can't live life with me like this, that's fine. I know fitness and health is something we really valued together before, but it's something that I just can't do anymore. And he was really supportive. I think he was just as scared as I was, but he wanted me to be happy and he loved me and wanted what was best for me. So I dove headfirst into all the resources and podcasts that I could about learning to heal my relationship to food and my body. And again, it was really crazy. I got a lot of pushback from people saying that, like, I'm just giving up, that eating clean is the only way to go, and that I shouldn't eat certain things, and I shouldn't tell people that I'm eating certain things because it's really unhealthy and it's bad for everybody and I'm just going to harm everybody and myself. And even though these are all really counterintuitive concepts, I felt intuitively that it was right, that it was like the way to heal. So I just did it despite the fear, anything. And what I noticed, the first thing that I did was I released control with food. So I decided that I was going to eat whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. There were no off-limits foods. There were no cheat days. There were no cheat meals. It was like whatever I felt like I wanted, I was going to have that and explore that. And for some people recovering from an eating disorder or disordered eating, that doesn't quite work for them. Sometimes we can still allow our fear to hold us back, and that is what can cause issues. For me, I'm not usually one to let my fear hold me back, and so I just trusted. And through that trust, I not only just learned, like, eat whatever you want, whenever you want, but I started to learn at the same time ways to be present with my food, ways to enjoy my food, ways to pay attention to how food was making me feel. And this is the first time I'd ever been taught how to, like, properly eat, like the art of eating, like being present, chewing, noticing senses, smells, how you're feeling. And I had never been introduced to the idea of, like, food being a big factor in how you're feeling, like connecting food to moods and health and different things like that. So I was just amazed at this stuff. And I noticed that a lot of the foods that were off limits, when they weren't off limits anymore, they suddenly were not appealing. Like, for the first time in my life, I could leave a gallon of ice cream in the freezer for like a month and not make a big deal about it. and even forget that it was there. Like, that had never happened before. If it was there, like, I'd be fixated on it. And that's why I felt like it was dangerous to have it in the house. Then I'd have, like, I started exploring all my off-limits foods, like sugar cereals and pizza. And it was amazing. It was really fun being able to enjoy food like that for the first time, guilt-free, and just really, like, enjoy the pleasure of eating. And long story short, first of all, one of the things that happened right away that had never, ever happened is that the binges just stopped. Like, I stopped having binges. Again, remember that this is, like, not just one or two things that I learned. This is, like, I started going to health coaching school at the same time. So I was learning a lot of things at once, a lot of coping mechanisms. I had a lot of support along the way, but my binges stopped, and then my moods started regulating. So I wasn't like this up and down crazy person that I had always felt like I was. Like, in my mind, I always felt like I was a different person than I was acting like all the time. Like, in my mind, I was this really calm, loving, kind person, but then I would act out all the time and I'd be like, who is this person? Well, when I stopped controlling my food and obsessing about my size, then I started acting like a normal person. I felt like I actually had a handle on my emotions, and my hormones regulated, my periods regulated for the first time ever in my life. And then I noticed that I actually preferred, like, I started to eat foods from the farmer's market. I got involved in a co-op. I started learning about healthy cooking methods and meal prepping, like foods that I actually like, that had flavor, adding like herbs and oils and avocado, and not obsessing over calories and stuff. And so by choice, I just started eating healthier than I ever did. Now, during that time, I actually did have to take a break from exercise because I was really obsessive. And I, up to that point, had learned to use exercise as a tool to change my body. I didn't know how to use it for actual health purposes. So I just had to step back for a while and learn what it was like to not exercise. And then about like halfway through my health coaching school, I learned they were teaching about eating disorders, and I learned about binge eating disorder for the first time. And throughout my life, I always just thought that I was broken and that there was something wrong with me. Like, I didn't understand where the binges were coming from or even how to name them, because I had learned about anorexia and I had learned about bulimia, but I had never heard of binge eating disorder, because I thought, well, I do the binge part of bulimia, but I don't purge. I don't make myself throw up. So I just thought that it was just my fault, that I was just broken. I lacked willpower, whatever. So then they taught about binge eating disorder, and it changed everything. I remember calling everybody that, like, I knew that, like, is important to me, telling them, like, this is what's been going on with me this whole time. And everyone's just like, okay, whatever. Especially because they didn't even know I had a problem to begin with. It's not something I talked about, because, again, I was really ashamed about it. But anyway, I'm going to read you the characteristics, the diagnostic criteria of binge eating disorder. Binge eating disorder is recurrent episodes of binge eating. An episode of binge eating is characterized by both of the following: eating in a discrete period of time, example within any 2-hour period, an amount of food that is definitely larger than what most people would eat in a similar period of time under similar circumstances. A sense of lack of control over eating during the episode. For example, a feeling that one cannot stop eating or control what or how much one is eating. Then the binge eating episodes are associated with 3 or more of the following: eating much more rapidly than normal, which is what I was doing, eating until feeling uncomfortably full, eating large amounts of food when not feeling physically hungry, eating alone because of feeling embarrassed by how much one is eating, feeling disgusted with oneself, depressed, or very guilty afterward. Marked distress regarding binge eating is present. The binge eating occurs on average at least once a week for 3 months. The binge eating is not associated with the recurrent use of inappropriate compensatory, I can't read this word, compensatory, I don't know, behaviors, purging, as in bulimia nervosa, and does not occur exclusively during the course of bulimia nervosa or anorexia nervosa. This comes from nationaleatingdisorders.org. But that literally every single thing that is mentioned there is literally what I was going through for so many years without even like knowing. So it felt really good to get answers, not only like just so that I could put a name to it, but also so that I could feel like maybe this isn't something that's wrong with just me. Like other people are going through this and there's a reason behind it. Most of the time, binge eating disorder is characterized by restriction. So because I was restricting food and because I felt a certain way about food for my entire life, it was causing me to binge. Because naturally, like if you're basically the way that the body works is if you are restricting, the body is eventually going to outsmart because it needs calories, food to survive. So it's a biological mechanism that you're naturally, those instincts are going to kick in and your body's just going to black out and just take what it needs. So that is something that I went through. Keep in mind that binge eating is something separate from emotional eating because emotional eating is just a coping mechanism. And I believe it's something we had an episode on already, or I'm going to have an episode on emotional eating. But emotional eating is just, yeah, it's just a coping mechanism. You're choosing to eat to deal with your emotions. It's a little bit different, and the characteristics are different than what I just mentioned in binge eating disorder. Emotional eating is completely normal for everybody. All of us do it. Like if you celebrate a birthday and you eat cake, that is eating emotionally. Because emotional eating can also be like celebratory eating, eating to connect with others, going out to lunch with a friend or whatever. There's nothing wrong with it. But if it's your only form of a coping mechanism, that's when it can be a problem. Anyway, so once I found out that basically like I had all these resources to help me heal my relationship to food and my body, that's what I've been working on for the last 3 years. And keep in mind, yeah, it's been a really long journey. It's been 3 years or so, and I'm just now hitting the point where I can have a healthy relationship to exercise again, where I know how to listen to my body and let it guide me through exercise while still being able to push myself without feeling like I have to hurt myself. So it's a really tricky balance you got to practice doing. But I exercise before work a few times a week. I wake up really early to do it because I've learned that that's just what I enjoy doing. I like the way that it feels. I like the way that I feel in the morning. And then I was struggling with kind of my relationship to food. Once I started focusing on other things, once I healed my relationship to food, I was like, all right, well, let me focus on other things like personal growth, more important things like who am I as a person? What is my contribution to this world? So I kind of lost touch of how to eat intuitively. And so I wasn't eating intuitively. I was kind of rebelliously eating for a long time, like just for a good, I was going through some things the last year. So I was just eating rebelliously, like whatever I wanted without thinking about how it was making me feel. I noticed I was emotionally eating more than usual. I felt like I was eating past fullness or whatever for a long time. So anyway, I noticed that my weight started creeping up again. I don't weigh myself, so I don't really know the exact amounts, but I just started to feel uncomfortable in my body again. That's when those feelings started to rise up again of the unworthiness, even though I've done all this work to learn that there's nothing wrong with bigger bodies and learn to accept myself at whatever size I was at. I'd look at old pictures and think, man, like I want to be skinny again. I want to be thin again. And I've learned to work through that, to think, to pay attention. Like, what is it that I'm actually saying here? Most of the time it's me detecting that I'm out of touch with my body, or I'm not listening to my body's wants or needs, or I'm not respecting my body. And so that's what I've been working on now, is reintroducing the intuitive eating concepts. My periods, my menstrual cycle irregulated again, like really badly. I'm actually having some really big issues there. So I am now working with doctors to figure out what's going on and learning to, I bought an online course about how I can help these symptoms. Like it's called Fix Your Period, and it teaches you how to eat and change your lifestyle to basically heal your hormones. In the past, that would have been really difficult for me, and especially along this journey of healing my relationship to food, I have felt like that the idea of changing how you eat, even if it's like related to health issues, it's been really scary for me because I didn't want it to feel like a diet. So in the past, when I would start to do things to heal my hormones, it would feel like a diet. And that's when I would like, do the rebellious eating and yada yada. And this time around, I started to approach it really gently and use everything that I've learned. And I'm so thankful that I've learned about intuitive eating, because it's changed the way that I'm approaching my health this time. It's not from a place of, oh man, like my body's broken. I have this giant list of foods that I can't eat and I just feel so deprived and yada, yada, yada. Now it's like, I really care for my body. I really want my body to heal. I really do care about my health. And so instead of paying attention to when I'm doing this like course, for example, when she says things to avoid, I kind of just drown her out when she says that. And I pay attention to the foods that she says to have more of. So I add in things to what I'm eating. I eat more of those foods. And then for the list of avoids, I just kind of pay attention to when they come up, like the opportunity comes up to eat a certain food that's on a list of things that aren't so hormone friendly. I think, okay, well, how would this make me feel? Is this something I really feel like I want or I need? I ask myself a list of questions. If I do decide to eat something that's on the list of foods to avoid, I don't have guilt for it. I don't think that, oh my gosh, I've ruined everything and now my health is going down the drain. I do what I've been taught. I eat it mindfully. I stay present with it. I enjoy it. And that allows me to move on instead of eating more of that food than I would if I felt like I was restricting or depriving myself. Anyway, the point is that this healing process has not been linear at all. There's been a lot of ups and downs. It never is, but it's so much easier to be able to just listen to my body and guide myself through than to feel like I have to listen to outside resources and I feel like I have to shame myself for not being good enough, not being worthy enough, not being strong enough, not having enough willpower, not being skinny enough, whatever, whatever. Instead of coming from a place of I'm not enough, I'm coming from a place of I am enough. I am so much. I'm so worthy. And that makes my body worthy of being treated the best that she can, because she does so many things for me. I don't hate my body. I love my body. I actually do like now love the way that she looks, because she's so like my body is so strong, like gets me through amazing workouts, really super athletic. And yeah, I do have cellulite and yeah, I do have rolls, but I mean, it is what it is. Like that's just how my body is. And if she's healthy, that's all that I care about. And if she's happy, that's what I care about. She meaning me, meaning my body. We are one. And that just sounded so like zen cheesy, but you know, sometimes it's true. And that is truly how I feel. So anyway, if you've made it all this way, then you have been on my long journey with me. And I know that this is a lot of information. This is a lot to take in. And hopefully you've gotten at least one piece of insight while you've been listening. Maybe you've learned at least one thing about yourself. Hopefully it's helped you realize that in some way you're not crazy. You're not alone. You're not lacking willpower. You're not unworthy. You're not all these things that you've been told that you are. And if you want to have a conversation about maybe your relationship to food or your body, or maybe you're wanting to feel better about your food choices, or you're wanting to feel better in your body, whatever it is, just know that I'm here for you. I am currently working on building resources for you. So if there is something that you have in mind, maybe an online course that you'd like me to build or a resource you'd like me to put out there, just let me know what you need help with. And I would love to help. If you haven't already subscribed to my newsletter on laurenkepler.com, the homepage, for right now, it's the Habit Builders Kickstarter Guide. I'm working on getting another resource up there that you can grab for free in exchange for your email address. You could be on my list, my VIP list, where I email you weekly with episode updates and other updates of like products and special things that I am creating just for you. Along with that, I do most of my posting on Instagram at Lauren M. Kepler. I like to update my stories more often than my feed. I also have a Facebook group, which is just for women, empowering women. I'm even thinking of changing the name because it's called Habit Builder Society. There will be a link in the show notes, but it's a group for women to get together and talk about their struggles or their wins, and just for us to come together and empower each other. And that is about all I have for this episode. It's been a long one. So again, thank you so much for hanging in there. And it's been really great chatting with you and telling my story and bringing you along this path with me. I will talk to you next week, and I hope you have an awesome week. And remember that you are enough and you are doing enough.